Buongiorno, ciao, da bin ich wieder mit einer neuen Episode zum Thema Chianti Classico. Ich freue mich, dass auch du wieder dabei bist, wenn es heißt auf ein Glas Wein mit Nina in Chianti. Ich bin Nina und ich liebe Chianti Classico und wie immer will ich dich mitnehmen in meine Chianti Classico Welt. Heute bin ich wieder in meinem geliebten Chianti, genauer gesagt im Panzano in Chianti. Es ist ja im Moment Urlaubszeit und für viele Menschen bedeutet Urlaub in Italien unter anderem gutes Essen und gute Weine. Hier auf der Piazza von Panzano, also dort, wo sich das bunte Leben abspielt, gibt es eine Enoteca, nämlich die Enoteca Baldi, die genau diesen Urlaubsvorstellungen vieler Besucher entspricht. Und ich gebe zu, ich bin hier ebenso sehr, sehr gerne und auch ziemlich häufig. Hier treffe ich heute meinen heutigen Gesprächspartner Gianmaria Gabi. Ich werde Gianmaria einige Fragen stellen, natürlich zum Thema Chianti Classico, denn Gianmaria ist Sommelier und gemeinsam mit seiner Partnerin Eleonore betreibt er die Enoteca seit einigen Jahren. Und man kann sagen, mit großem Erfolg. Aber das soll uns Gianmaria selbst erzählen. Wir haben in unser Gespräch in den Räumen der Enoteca aufgezeichnet, kurz vor dem Service, und daher sind auch einige Hintergrundgeräusche zu hören. Und einmal haben uns auch hereinkommende Gäste begrüßt. Ich hoffe, das stört dich nicht. Jetzt wünsche ich dir noch viel Spaß, freue dich auf einige interessante Aussagen von Gianmaria, und weil Gianmaria leider kein Deutsch spricht, habe ich das Gespräch mit ihm in Englisch geführt. Buonasera, Gianmaria.
Nina, buonasera.
Thank you for being with me here in your Enoteca Baldi. It's your place where I always can find you because it's one of my favorite places here in Panzano.
Grazie.
And you're working here. You're almost living here, I would
Let's
like to
say. Let's say so, yeah.
And you are the master of a lot of bottles here, because Enoteca means wine shop. So, of course, you will find a lot of wine here. And I have to say, I spent really many, many wonderful times here myself and with friends together. So it's a great pleasure for me being here with you today.
That's lovely to hear. And thank you for the chance.
Yeah, no, we will have, it's an honor. But before we start with our podcast,
yep.
Following the title of my podcast, For a Glass Wine with Nina in Chianti, we have a glass of wine by our side.
We have to.
Yes, we have to. What do we have in our glass?
So today we are tasting a Chianti Classico from a lovely place, which is Tregole, mm-hmm. which gives the name also to the winery. Mm-hmm. Tregole is a hamlet within Castellina in Chianti, which is a quite broad, wide area in the southern end of the Chianti Classico region. And this is a 2022 vintage of a straight Sangiovese planted at 550 meters above sea level by Sophie and Edith. Sophie is a gun winemaker that started out around 10 years ago. She's very, very talented, but at the same time, very, very young. She's now 35, if I'm not wrong, or 36. She's a good friend of mine as well.
So it's good to hear.
And we're tasting her Chianti Classico. I say her because she is the winemaker.
Yeah.
Her mother helps her out also in the winemaking, but she is the pillar of the winemaking at Tregole. This is a Chianti Classico that displays a nice level of depth. Especially on the nose, despite the slim character that you can detect on the palate. There's a nice structure, definitely dark fruit characters, lovely minerality going through, and a beautiful rocky sort of character with a touch of rusticity that makes the wine quite interesting and especially food friendly, I think. And Tregole is a absolutely outstanding place surrounded by bush. All the vineyards are planted on Macigno del Chianti, which is not very common to find vineyards planted on Macigno del Chianti, which is a geological
formation,
yeah, within the Chianti Classico region. And yeah, this is something which I absolutely adore, especially with some cured meats or maybe some aged cheese, you know, something.
So No, you made me curious.
Yeah, let's try.
Let's try.
Let's have a toast.
Not only talking about.
Yeah, exactly. We have to experience the wine.
Of course.
As I always say, wine has to be loved and drunk, not just talked about.
Not talked about and not only stored.
Yeah, exactly. Wine is to be opened and shared with friends.
I always say producers don't do the wine for keeping that in the cellar. They do it for drinking.
Exactly. That's the main purpose.
But it's very delicious. I love this very nice acidity.
Yeah.
I can imagine it's also because it's so high, because you mentioned 550 meters. So
there's a quite good diurnal range between day and night.
Of course, the Marginio, this formation.
The tannins are there, are very well managed, I think.
Yeah.
Very well managed, especially for a young vintage. But the texture of the wine is very precise.
Yeah.
There's a nice drinkability, which is something that in every wine people should be looking at, I think. Drinkability. As we said before, wine has to be drunk and enjoyed.
Yes, it's true. So it's the vintage 22, I see.
Yeah.
Just to let my listeners know what we are drinking.
Sure.
When I think of Enoteca Baldi, there are a lot of wonderful memories coming up. But for me, there's three special facts I remember always. First of all, it's good food, good vibes, and all this on the piazza of the main square of Panzano. Yeah. Then it's a family business since many, many years.
It is.
And a huge wine list of about 1,000 items on that list, which is really outside.
Let me correct you, Nina, is now 1,500.
Oh my God, Gianmaria.
So more than that, but it's an ongoing process. This is an expanding list.
Mamma mia.
So yeah, it's something which I really have fun with. That's my main core, to offer, nice selection of wines from all over the world.
That sounds really great. I know now Enoteca Baldi since I'm coming to Panzano, so more than 20 years. And it's, as I mentioned before, situated on the main square, on the piazza, which is in Italian, it's much more nice, this word. And when the weather is nice, you can sit right at the piazza, giving you a wonderful insight to the life of Panzano. But of course, there's the motto, to see, to watch, and to be seen. So it's also because it's also important. In these 20 years here at the Enoteca Baldi, I remember many, many things have changed. But there's one stable thing which always have been good food, very good food.
That is a must.
Yes. I think. And for this food is Mimmo responsible. The owner, let me say, the chef of the family as well. I love his style of cooking. His dishes always make me feeling like at home. When I'm thinking on Italian food, I'm thinking on dishes of Mimmo. For me, it's just buonissimo.
We say comfort food in a nice way. Yes. It's very traditional, genuine. It's down to earth, but incredibly well executed. Any simple recipe, if it's not made correctly, it doesn't taste as good as Mimmo's.
Yes.
And I think his offering of, traditional cuisine, not necessarily Tuscan, but, Italian traditional cuisine.
I would say he has mainly Tuscan dishes on the list.
Yeah, for sure,
but
for sure.
Of course, there's a huge influence of Napoli.
Yeah.
Where Mimmo comes from.
The Amalfi Coast, for sure.
And often Asian influences.
As well, because he loves Asian cuisine.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have on the menu some fusion dishes, especially on a Friday. Mm-hmm. When
bene di pesci.
Exactly right. When we have a beautiful offering of seafood options. Mimmo goes to the market, he buys what he finds attractive, and based on that, he designs the menu. So each Friday we have, a seafood offering which changes weekly, which is very attractive, and I think Mimmo can have also some fun with it.
Yeah, and I think it should be, it's not possible to do it every day like that, but it should be that way to go on the market, what is nice,
exactly,
and to do that for our guests.
Exactly, exactly. So it's not like a,
it's not easy, you
know,
to handle.
Pre-planned, yeah, you know, menu, yeah, is, yeah, something that comes from the heart.
Yeah, this is true. But it wasn't just Mimmo. He had also his wife on his side running that Enoteca in all that years, and as well the three daughters. They have been always supported. I remember at every part of the being here, it was another daughter, and this is also a daughter. Okay, then I learned, okay, there are three daughters.
Yeah, it is all about family here. It is a family business, 100%. Of course, we have great people working with us, which we really rely on. But for sure, Mimmo is the pillar of the place. Yes. And there are other members of the family that rotates around him. Now, I'll be also helping him, you know, on the floor, when we say front of house, on the service procedures, especially like the beverage program. But it is all about family, as you mentioned.
Yeah, yes. You are here since 2018, if I remember well.
Right. Yeah.
And how did it come? Because I have to say, you are actually from Verona, which is not so close to Tuscany.
Exactly right, Nina. I spent a few years overseas in Australia, where I met Eleonora.
Did you come to Australia? Well, why?
I finished my studies in architecture, and then I decided to have a life experience in Australia.
Okay.
Also to have, you know, not just a life experience, but, you know, to meet new people, yeah, and, you know, to improve a little bit my English, which is still a little bit rusty, but it's okay.
Perfect.
I hope it is understandable, guys. And yeah, when I was in Australia, I finished my studies, and you know, I fall in love.
Your studies in architecture.
Yeah,
you finished,
correct. Yeah, okay. I had a master course in project management, okay, at RMIT in Melbourne. And after my graduation, unfortunately, I had a big accident that took me, you know, a few months to recover.
Oh.
I was stuck home, basically getting annoyed. So I wanted something to do, you know, to kill the time.
Yeah.
Wine had always been my passion. So I decided to get a qualification in wine while I was recovering. And that's what I did. After my recovery, I never went back to architecture. And my wine journey started out.
So we can say it was a key point, a milestone in your life, this accident. Very bad, but at the end, it turned you in the right direction.
Exactly right. Yeah, it turned my life into something different because I was, you know, I was working with a Mexican professor at RMIT at university as an assistant researcher. And, you know, now I'm totally in a different world.
So you did your education for wine in Australia.
Exactly right.
As an Italian. Interesting. As an Italian.
Very, very, very interesting and very unusual. I grew up in a family where wine was very important.
Yeah.
So I've always been passionate about wine. But let's say that the diving into even a very base knowledge about wine was done when I was living in Australia. Mm-hmm. In Italy, I've been drinking for sure.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, studying very, very briefly wine, but it was mainly super basic knowledge.
Yeah.
It was Australia that brought me into the wine world, and you know, it was a wine journey that grew up little by little.
So Australia was really important for you, this accident. Then we had changed your profession.
I met Eleonora.
And you met Eleonora,
I wouldn't be in Panzano
without
her.
Which is one of the three daughters here.
Correct,
of
Enoteca.
So you are really also family.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah,
just kidding.
And so it was a really important place for you, I would say.
It was a very important place. 2018, that was the year that I moved back to Italy, to Panzano. It was meant to be, you know, just a very brief time of my life. Mm-hmm. So it was meant to be just a summer time. But then I decided to stay because, you know, we built up, you know, a nice sort of, let's say, reputation. And, you know, the wine list has been growing considerably since I arrived. So, Panzano took my heart.
Yeah, but to be honest, when you think of Panzano, of course, you think about wine and you think about an enoteca. But to find in an enoteca more than 1,500 bottles or items, not bottles, items, it's really not so common, let me say.
It's not common, especially, no, people get very surprised when they see such a broad offering, wide offering of wines that go outside the borders of Tuscany, let's say outside of the borders of Chianti Classico, then outside of the borders of Tuscany, then outside of the borders of Italy, with a strong focus on, you know, Champagne, Burgundy, some Bordeaux. Because my belief is that great wines come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. This is why I try to push a lot on, you know, great labels, great references from places which are not just Tuscany, especially because we work a lot with many, many local producers.
Yeah.
They don't just like to drink the neighboring wine, you know, they like to experience, you know, new labels, new appellations, new geographical areas. I got wine from, you know, the Azores, from, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean. I got wines from Australia. Of course, I had to. Wines from South Africa, wine from Lebanon, Georgia. You know,
it's really interesting.
I really like to select and to have fun with it.
It's really great what you're doing. And for that, you have been awarded, for several times.
Yeah, three times in a row, first, second, and third edition of the Milano Wine Week. It was the first, association that was awarding, you know, wine list from Italy. And yeah, we won three times in a row, top 10 wine list in Italy under our category. We are a wine bar.
But I would say you have much more wine than other restaurants.
Yeah, true. True, we are a wine bar, but yeah, we've been awarded with our...
Yes, you are the category of a wine bar.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Many people say, yeah, to drink like that, you should go, you know, to a Michelin star restaurant. They say, I like wine to be more informal. You know, wine has to be fun, has to be enjoyed and shared with other people. So this is a nice place to be. As you said, in the piazza, you can spend a nice time, a nice afternoon, a nice evening, you know, in summer under the umbrella, if there's no sun anyway in the piazza. And yeah, it's, I think, a nice place to be and a fun place to be, which is the main thing. You need to be comfortable. You need to enjoy delicious food. You need to have a great company with great wine. I think this is the key for having a nice holiday in the Chianti Classico.
Yes, that's true. But now you made me curious because you talked about this much of wine. You had your experience in Australia. Can you remember where and when you first came across Chianti Classico?
Ooh.
So do you remember the winery, perhaps?
Yeah, I definitely remember one of the Vinitalis I had. You know, I'm from Verona, so in Verona there's Vinitali each year, and I grew up going to Vinitali.
We have to say it's one of the biggest wine fairs Italy.
In Italy, for Italian wine.
For Italian wines.
Yeah, it's a very big event.
Yeah.
And, you know, throughout my Vinitali experiences, I came across Chianti Classico. I remember Castello di Broglio was definitely 2004. It was probably one of my highlights. But the main wine I'm, you know, very attached to is Poggerino from Piero Lanza. Poggerino is an outstanding winery based in Raden Chianti, a neighboring village to Panzano. And when I was managing a restaurant in Melbourne, in Australia, it was the Grossi, part of the Grossi group, a very iconic Italian group for restaurants, was managing Ombra. That was like a sort of a wine bar with many cicchetti, Venetian style. So sharing options, dishes.
Snacks.
Let's call them snacks.
But
and
Italian
I've been
snacks.
Pouring a lot of Poggerino Chianti Classico. That time was probably, honestly remember the vintage, but I remember falling in love with Chianti Classico. And I find Chianti Classico to be a very versatile wine, a very food-friendly wine, a wine that gives you satisfaction without being impegnativo, hard to drink.
Yeah. It's funny because my listeners know Pierre very well because I did several podcasts already with him.
No way.
Because he's my weather guru. And because I think you, when you meet him, or it's for me, when I come to Pocerino, we immediately starting together talking about the weather. Always because he knows everything. Ask him for every wind, for every drop.
He's not just talented, he's very knowledgeable about viticulture, agronomy, about winemaking. You know, he's a 360 degrees wine guy. But
that's true. That's true. A 360 degrees wine guy. That's very true. And on this very special place, which Pocerino is.
And the Bugiala vineyard, which is the vineyard that gives, you know, the Reserva wine, I think, is one of the most beautiful and best performing vineyards throughout Chianti Classico. And it is a big, wide area.
Yeah.
So it's a big statement.
For me personally, for me, one of my favorite is the Nuovo, which is done in the concrete deck.
A little bit more modern approach in the winemaking, because Piero is not just tradition, it's also a little bit of, you know, forward thinking.
Yes.
And the Nuovo is definitely one of the results.
Yeah. Nowadays, you are very close to the Chianti Classico. Of course, you live here. And you know now, I would say, a lot about the appellation, what's happening here. You know many, many producers personally. I know you are visiting them. You're talking with them. And I know that they are coming also to here, having dinner, drinking other wines, as you mentioned before. How has your view of Chianti Classico changed over the years, from that very first beginning with the wines of Pocerino up to now? Is there a change, or did you get another opinion?
I find Chianti Classico to be living an ongoing curve of success and quality improvement.
Yeah.
So year by year, there's quality improvement happening on a real basis, and you can detect this by drinking Chianti Classico. So definitely Chianti Classico is living a great time, and I believe there has been, you know, an ongoing improvement since I started to drink Chianti Classico. Yeah. However, I find, you know, tradition to be a very important core for Chianti Classico, where you have to keep things, you know, made in the right way, and in a traditional way. Even though I was able to find, you know, and to look for, you know, different labels, and when I say different labels, more innovative and something which is definitely more out of the tradition of the historical way of thinking Chianti Classico, which is the most exciting part of my job, I think, because you can definitely meet new producers, which, you know, are growing as well. But not just that, you can experience, you know, new way of winemaking, which are not part of tradition, but part of the future of Chianti Classico. But definitely the terroir has to be, I think, the main core.
Yeah, the main. I would also agree. It's the main, but what means for you the human factor? So it's because I say it's always personality, not only a person, a personality behind the bottle.
You touch a very, very important point to me. And despite the difference between, you know, place to place, my personal way of thinking is that the human factor, which is part of terroir, culture and human factor, that both part of terroir as a concept, as a theme, plays sometimes a more important role to the actual soil and geography.
Yeah.
This is what I think. You know, I've been doing many blind tastings with, you know, wine passionate, wine lovers and wine connoisseurs. And at the end of the night, yes, you can detect the terroir, but the hand of the winemaker, I think, plays a little bit more important role. I know the consortium of Chianti Classico is moving towards, you know, the UGA, so territorial differences, which are definitely quite obvious from when we assess, you know, wines made, let's say, in a similar way. But when you have a winemaker that plays, you know, with different ways of, you know, making wine, this idea behind the winemaking and the way he makes wine, sometimes they play, in my humble opinion, a more important role.
Let's take Trégolet as example, because I think Sophie, I know her as well. She is doing it in a very, she has to do it in a way to her place, because as we said before, 550 meters altitude is another thing that the grapes would be down at 300 meters. So she has to do other things in the cellar as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's another thing of ripeness of the grapes. So it's, for me, it's also, and I always say when I ship bottles to my clients, they ordered in my online shop, I always say I don't ship only wine. I ship a personality and hopefully memories, because
absolutely right.
This is what, and I think this is one of the best things of wine. But now let's get a little bit deeper. Let me say, because we know that you have a broad knowledge of wines, and we know there's a category of Chianti Classico, which the Italian often call the Annata, and I'm all very often asked from clients, where is written on the word Annata? I can't find the word Annata because it's not written on. It means vintage, but
Italians have to make it complicated.
No, I love it, but it's really funny that you call it Annata. I don't like the word. Often producers call it the base, the basic wine.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't like it, because it's very interesting to see that many, many wine regions are always having their top quality. Like, nobody talks about the Rosso di Montalcino. Everybody's talking about Brunello di Montalcino.
Wow.
But in Piemont, we talk about Barolo and Barbaresco, not about a pure Nebbiolo, which is also Barolo and Barbaresco. But
exactly.
We do, and here in Chianti, we talk about the Chianti Classico. It's not that we're talking about all the Gran Selezione. It is the basic wine.
The basic wine, but it's the greatest somehow. But is something that you'd be drinking on a regular basis. As I said before, it's a very versatile style of wine, and it is what you want to enjoy. And without being a simple wine, it's a wine which has many, many facets. It is a wine with carries a nice acidity, which is very food friendly. And it is something that, you know, is the core for the production of a producer. Because if a Chianti Classico Annata, the early vintage wine, you know, is not successful but enjoyable, there is the, you know, the business card for a winemaker.
Yes.
And not just that, you know, the main production, you know. If a Chianti Classico Annata is not that good for you, don't even bother to chase the Riserva.
I totally agree. So is it necessary for you in your daily work to have the Chianti Classico categories, or do you just, because often the producers have in these three categories, when they produce three categories, not every producer is doing all three categories.
Yeah.
But they often have another philosophy or other grapes. Or is it for you necessary in your daily work, or do you say it doesn't care about it, I have to know the wine? because you're often recommending to your people, to your guests, or as a host, you say, I will recommend you to that dish, that wine. And then you have in the mind about that, let me say, Gran Selezione. And it's not because it's a Gran Selezione.
Yeah, I think that the main key of my job is to interpret the needs and the, what my guests are expecting to drink, which is the key, I think. The category of Annata, as we mentioned before, Riserva and Gran Selezione are very important to me, depending on what the guest is expecting. If a guest wants a little bit more agile wine, I would probably recommend the Annata. But then, you know, Riserva and Gran Selezione step in. And with Riserva, we always have a wine which is a little bit more deep and a little bit more soft somehow in the tannins. But thanks to the introduction of Gran Selezione wine, especially in 2014, especially in the last couple of years, there's a much higher demand for this category, which, as the name suggests, is the highest category. For Chianti Classico. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean it is the best wine from a producer, but it is definitely the most selected wine by the producer in terms of grapes that come from the best vineyard or the best selection of the grapes.
Or the best barrel.
The best barrel, you know, is the wine. It's like the baby that you want to, you know, take care of a little bit more.
Yeah.
This doesn't necessarily mean that Annata and Riserva are bad wines, not at all. As we said before, Annata is the business card. You should be looking at Annata for, you know, great quality. Otherwise, there's no point of drinking the highest categories. But, yeah.
There are several Sangiovese wines in Tuscany. When we speak about Tuscany, we have to say we speak about, in general, about Sangiovese wines. So, the Brunello di Montalcino we announced before, the Vino Nobile di Montepulciano, the Morellino, just to announce the most important.
Yep.
What do you think is the biggest difference between these Sangiovese wines of Tuscany, from the coast, from the south of Tuscany, comparing to Chianti Classico? Or is there a difference?
Yeah, this is a very interesting and nice question, because I think Chianti Classico carries the drinkability and the texture, and I know it is an abused term when we talk about minerality, but the characters coming from the soil really shine in Chianti Classico.
Yeah.
And I don't think other appellations within the Tuscan borders can display such a high level of this sort of minerality and texture and drinkability. And I think this is the key of success for Chianti Classico. The cooler climate, if compared to other appellations.
Especially with
the biodiversity.
Yeah, especially with this climate change situation we have.
Absolutely, which is the key of understanding, you know, how... And the biodiversity, as I said just now, you know, can cope with this climate change, because the very high level of bush, which is incredibly high if compared to other appellations, can mitigate the climate and can definitely... bring to the wine a great level of texture in terms of like drinkable texture, a little bit slimmer, a little bit more, you know, vertical driven style of wine with this beautiful cleansing acidity and food friendly acidity, which is definitely needed for pairing food and wine, and especially for long term cellaring.
Totally
because when we have, you know, a wine that doesn't display high acids, you know, it will never age beautifully. Okay. As Chianti Classico.
Yes. Yeah. This is true.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting, because I'm now working with Chianti Classico since more than 25 years. And before, it was really, everybody was talking about Brunello, which is a great wine. I don't want to push them down. And also the Vino Nobile, and also they are very nice Morellino di Scanzano. But in the end, often I often said, what is the difference? I often said the price. So because Chianti Classico at that time has been much more cheaper than especially Brunello di Montalcino. Is still on. It's the same rule. You get two free bottles of very nice Chianti Classico for one bottle of Brunello. Often, not always, often.
As you said, Chianti Classico was your first love, and the first love, you know, lasts forever. Mm. And, you know, you got a very, very high in detecting Chianti Classico as a potential appellation for growing. And this is one of the most successful appellations nowadays in Italy, for sure.
It's the oldest as well.
It is the oldest as well. Of course, very, very important to mention. 1716 is the first consortium of Italy as well.
Yes, so it's very interesting. But it's really not only traditional, it's historic,
you can say. It is history, tradition, and quality.
And
quality.
Culture.
Yeah, of
culture.
Course.
It is not possible to think... when you're thinking on people here in Chianti, you're not thinking about people not drinking wine. So it's not, it's of course there are,
exactly.
But this is not a rule. Is there a wine, a grape variety? You have so many wines, much more than me, because I'm always saying I'm not a wine expert. I'm a Chianti Classico expert. So
you are definitely probably better than me.
No. Is there a grape variety you could possibly compare to Sangiovese?
Well, it's not very easy to answer to this question. I believe Nebbiolo could be probably the most similar grape variety, despite the tannins and the acidity are definitely a little bit different. But the level of how noble the grape variety could be, Nebbiolo is the key. Definitely a little bit more dustier, creating more dusty tannins with Nebbiolo. There's a touch of more rusticity somehow in Sangiovese-based wines, but they are two of the most noble grape varieties from Italy, and probably Nebbiolo is the most comparable to...
I would say Nebbiolo comes from Piemont, and so Piemont and Tuscany, they are the highest quality regions of Italy. Even there are so much more good wines all over Italy.
The fruit profile could be definitely different, but in terms of structure, which is probably very important to assess in a wine, not just talking about, you know, if it is red fruit, dark fruit, but in terms of structure, I think the Nebbiolo is the most comparable.
What are the most important aspects for you when making your selection of Chianti Classico, or when you, because, or if somebody is coming and, like, as we mentioned before, having dinner here or lunch, and you are recommending an Chianti Classico, what are your important aspects? On the food, it depends of the food, of course, but not only
food, but I look much more for personality in the wine. A wine has to communicate something, either the personality of the winemaker, as we mentioned before, or the territoriality, so as to make the terroir, specific terroir where it comes from, shine. I know it can be slightly controversial to what I said before, talking about the human factor, which is very important, but this human factor is important to make the terroir shine.
Yeah.
So it is also part of human.
Yeah.
You know, everything comes from human, not just for the place where it comes from. A wine which is made in a different way from traditional, as we said before. Lately, you know, the use of amphora is quite important. You know, cliver is becoming, which is a ceramic material as well, very neutral in the aging of wine, or concrete, as we mentioned before, the Nuovo from Poggiorino. So there are all different ways of thinking Sangiovese in a different perspective and a different way of shining through the glass. But yeah, personality
is
the key.
Yeah. What is for you the perfect match? I always say my last food, if I could, or my last dinner, I could say, this is my last dinner, should be pappardelle al cinghiale with the missos of white pork together with Chianti Classico. I think this is for
perfect marriage.
Yes, this is for me. It comes together. Is there something for you like that?
Ooh, that's a nice question. The perfect marriage comes also, of course, from the style of the Chianti Classico. But let's talk about in general.
Yeah.
In general, I think probably I really like, I don't want to say something very easy, but some braised meat, I think. But, pork-based, beef-based, because with beef, you need a stronger wine.
Yeah.
Sometimes, when you have, a little bit of a stew of cinta senese, for example, which is a specific breed of pork from Siena, which is a little bit more fatty, so you need definitely the tannins to clean up your palate. It could be a nice matching. Otherwise, on a regular basis, I would drink it with cured meats, which is, an Italian way of starting out a meal, or something quite simple but always delicious. If it is wild boar based, even better.
Interesting. So, Gian Maria, I have to say grazie,
grazie
for your for your time and all that interesting inputs and information you give us. And I wish you here for the entire team, for your family, for the entire team of Enoteca Baldi.
Grazie.
A great, great summer season with all that. And hopefully it's not too hot, because in the last years it has been really
hot. We'll see some rain as well.
Yeah. And I'll just say, viva il Chianti Classico.
Viva il Chianti Classico e salute.
Grazie.
Grazie a te, Nina.
Ich hoffe, du hattest viel Spaß bei meinem Gespräch mit Gian Maria. Ich musste für mich feststellen, dass Gian Maria und ich eine sehr ähnliche Herangehensweise an Chianti Classico haben. Das war mir bis jetzt gar nicht so bewusst. Falls du einmal nach Panzano in Chianti kommen solltest, dann freut sich Gian Maria ganz sicher, dich zu begrüßen. In den Shownotes findest du den Instagram-Link zur Enoteca Baldi. Mein besonderer Dank gilt heute natürlich Gian Maria für seine Zeit und seine Bereitschaft, uns so viel von sich erfahren zu lassen, aber auch dem gesamten Team der Enoteca, denn für sie war es eine große Herausforderung, das Service ohne viel Lärm zu machen vorzubereiten. Grazie a tutti. Und ein herzliches Dankeschön, wie immer, auch an Christina vom Phoenix Podcast, denn sie verwandelt meine Audioaufnahmen in hörbare Podcast-Episoden. Übrigens, falls du dich mit dem Gedanken trägst, eventuell selbst einen Podcast ins Leben zu rufen, dann kann ich dir Christina nur wärmstens empfehlen. Sie hilft nicht nur bei der Post-Production, also bei der Nachbearbeitung der Aufnahmen, sondern sie steht dir auch mit Rat, Tat und einer Schritt-für-Schritt-Hilfe bei der Verwirklichung deines Podcasts von Anfang an zur Seite. Die Kontaktdaten von Christina packe ich ganz einfach in die Shownotes. Und last but not least geht mein ganz großes Dankeschön an dich, denn du hast mir deine Zeit geschenkt, meinen Podcast zu hören. Und das ist in unserer schnellen Zeit keine Selbstverständlichkeit. Wenn dir diese Folge meines Podcasts gefallen hat, dann lass mich das durch eine gute Bewertung oder auch mit einem netten Kommentar wissen. Und wenn du keine weitere Folge von Auf ein Glas Wein mit Nina in Chianti verpassen möchtest, dann abonnier ganz einfach den Podcast, am besten gleich dort, wo du deine Podcasts am liebsten hörst. Hast du noch Fragen zu dieser Episode oder vielleicht überhaupt zum Thema Chianti Classico? Dann kannst du mir gerne eine Nachricht dazu senden. Auch diesen Link findest du, zur Überraschung natürlich, in den Shownotes. Ich hoffe, ich konnte dich mitnehmen in meine Chianti Classico-Welt, denn das ist meine Passion, mein Auftrag. So fühle ich es zumindest. Ich sag ciao, bis zum nächsten Mal hoffentlich, und ich freue mich auf dich. A presto! Drum schenkt ihm Lämmlein, dem Erdbeer von Lein.